Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. That ministered to our souls, right? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13 on Wednesday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the life of Joshua. And we found him in the book of Exodus. And there as he was under Moses' leadership, as they come out of the Exodus, after they come out of Egypt, and then, of course, he was being trained by Moses through the wilderness, and then God chose Joshua to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. We've been studying a lot of different truths about the events in the life of Joshua and those biblical principles. We know that the Old Testament stories are more than just history. They have biblical principles attached to them. And when you learn those principles, they never change. They're the same. Old Testament, New Testament, truth never changes. And so we've been learning a lot of biblical principles from the life of Joshua. We're actually coming to the end of our study on the life of Joshua. We have a few more lessons here. But we find that they're in the promised land now. And we studied last week that the land had rested from war there in chapter 11, verse 23. And the military part of the possessing the land is now coming to an end. It's now over. But there's still work to be done. If you look here in chapter 13, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 7. So if you go ahead and stand with me tonight, we'll read the Word of God together. The Bible says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is a land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all the Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron, northward, which is counted to the Canaanites, five lords of the Philistines, the Gathathites and the Ashdothites, the Eshkalonites and the Gittites and the Ekronites and the Avites. From the south, all the land of the Canaanites and Moriah, that is beside the Sidonians and Apec, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites and all that Lebanon toward the sun rising from Baal-Gad under Mount Hermon unto the entering into Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrapoth Miam and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we do love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the privilege it's been just to be in church and for what we've already received. But now, Father, as we've opened up your holy word, and we're looking to study this next event in the life of Joshua, I pray that you would just give each one of us that insight into this passage of scripture. And then I pray, God, that you might anoint and bless the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, you're going to go through, and if you read these several chapters here, you're going to find the Bible telling you a lot about the different kings that had been defeated, there in chapter 12 especially. But what we need to understand here is the military part of possessing the land is over. The land is now under God's law. It's under the law of Israel. And there's no need for the combined forces as they had been combined to go through and destroy all the kings and destroy all the armies and utterly destroy the people out of the land to prepare that land for the inhabitants of Israel. And so all that has been done. And so this military part of it has come to the end. The land has been conquered. And now we find that the government of the land, the laws of the land are under the control of Israel. Okay, that's what's very important for us to understand as we move forward here. They've done that part of it, and but things, the work is not finished. For Joshua, the work is not finished. For Israel, the work is not finished. The land would need to be divided up between the tribes of Israel. Two and a half of the tribes had already been given their inheritance by Moses there on the other side of Jordan. But the borders would need to be established so that each tribe would know what they were responsible for. Each tribe would have a certain part of the promised land. And inside the promised land, even though the kings had been defeated and the armies had been destroyed, there was still a lot of resistance in a major battle that they had going in to possess the land. There would have been a lot of people hiding in the rocks and hiding out in different areas. And now it would be up to every tribe to realize, this is my land that God has given to me. And we need to establish this as our own homeland. And we need to complete the task that God has given us to do. To clean out all of that which was opposite or anything that would be resistant to the laws of God. And they were to establish their own homes. It's the first time Israel now would have their own homeland. And the first time the families of Israel would be able to rest in their own lands and to establish their own houses. And so we find this is what was taking place. In Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1, God addresses two things with Joshua. And these are the two things that are very important that we're going to be looking at here tonight. And Joshua was old and stricken in years. Okay, that's what the Bible says. And then the Bible says, and the Lord said unto him. Twice we find here that Joshua is reminded of his age. Okay, so I think it's very important that we understand that God wanted us to realize that there is something to this. He says, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. There's still work to do in the land. They were to distribute the land, divide it up by inheritance. They were to establish the borders for each one. There's a lot of work to do because there's still more work to do for Israel once they get into the land. There will be a constant battle for them. There will be a constant, be constantly things for them to do in order to rule the land as God would have them to rule the land. So two things here. Be aware of age and complete your task. Complete the work that God has given you to do. The first thing we want to look at here is being aware of your age. Twice in one verse. That's putting emphasis on that. Can I tell you, we ought to be committed to a lifetime of service. A lifetime of service. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Joshua had been serving God in his youth. He served God in Egypt. He served God coming out of Egypt underneath Moses. He served Moses as he was serving God. Then he served as the one that God called to lead the nation of Israel. He has been serving God his entire life. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. As you walk and to please God, live your life in order to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. As you walk and please God, there is commandments along the way. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This idea of sanctification, when a person gets saved, then you have been sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. As you have been saved, then you have been set apart to serve God. Amen. That is basically what sanctification is, set apart for the purpose of serving God. Now, we are sanctified at salvation. We don't have to do anything to be sanctified at salvation. You can't do anything to gain your salvation, to purchase your salvation, to work for your salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. Amen. And what comes along with salvation, there's quite a bit that comes along with salvation. We have everlasting life. We become the children of God. But one of the things that happens when we are saved is that we have been sanctified by God. That means set apart to serve Him. Now, there is a progressive sanctification, and that is as we continue to live our lives to separate ourselves, okay? In whatever it is that we're doing, whatever stage of life you're in, you are looking to separate yourself so that you can be that vessel that God can work through. That's sanctification. Joshua had realized that he was set apart to serve God. The Bible says, as we are sanctified, that we need to know how to possess His vessel. How to possess your vessel. That means you need to know just how to control yourself. You have to know what you need to do to get done what needs to be done. You need to be able to bring your body under subjection. The body needs to be brought under subjection, and it will not be unless the mind is brought under subjection. We fight different battles at different ages and stages of life. When Joshua was in Egypt, we studied some of that, what was revealed to us about Joshua in Egypt. There would have been battles that Joshua would have fought as a young person. As Joshua came out of Egypt, there had been battles that he would have fought to be able to be the one chosen by Moses to be the captain of his host. There would have been battles for him to fight as he went through the wilderness, and as he had 40 years in the wilderness, as he would age those 40 years. There have been battles all along the way. Now he's 40 years older, as God now is preparing him to be the leader over Israel, to lead them into the promised land. Now that they've been in the promised land, conquering all these different kings and overcoming all these armies, there was a lot of strategic things to be done. And Joshua was a military strategist there, no doubt about it. But he followed the commandments of God. But now things have come to toward the end of his life, and the military part of it is over. Sometimes people like to, when a certain thing is over, they feel like, well, that's finished, I'm done. And that's not the case. Because we ought to be committed to a lifetime of sanctification. A lifetime of service. Teenagers. The very difficult time to go through for a Christian teenager. There's a lot of peer pressures. There's a lot of things going on within their own minds and their own bodies. Teenagers are fighting the battle to find out who they are. Where do I fit in? Who likes me? Who doesn't? I think all of us were there, and we're so, you know, worried and afraid that you would like somebody that they wouldn't like you back, so you'd write them a letter. If you like me, I like you, but if you don't like me, I don't like you. They're insecure. They're just trying to figure out who they are, where they fit in. Can I tell you, if you're saved, every saved teenager needs to realize you're sanctified for life. You will be able to handle all these other battles that you're going to fight as a teenager if you will commit to being a service to Christ. It will help you to know who you are. It'll help you to know what you need to do with your life, what kind of person you need to be. You don't have to be so insecure when it comes to relations, because you realize that the most important relationship in your life is that with God. And you've been set apart. That means that God has a purpose for your life. As you go through your teenage years, if you don't let the world or the flesh or the devil blind you to understanding, God has a purpose for your life. And serve God first. You're still going to go through some of those insecurities. You're still going to go through some of those physical and mental battles. You're going to have a lot of relationship failures and successes, possibly whatever it might be, but those will not be what's going to be the most important thing for the rest of your life. What's going to help you for the rest of your life is serving God. Age makes a difference. Because at every age, we have different set of circumstances to battle. You have physical, mental, and spiritual. Different set of circumstances. Age makes a difference. And that's what God is getting across to Joshua here. You're not a teenager anymore. You're not even a young adult. You're an old man. Because Joshua needed to know that. Can I tell you, young married, you have a lot of battles. There's a lot of things going on in your life. You have babies. Some of you have a lot of babies. The nursery is one of our fastest growing Sunday school classes. Amen. And I'm encouraging, keep having them. Amen. Go ahead. That's God's design. But with that comes a lot of battles. Who's getting up? I got up last night. It's your turn to get up. Not only do you have the battles with raising children, you have the battles with finances. Because why is it when we are raising children, we seem to be the poorest? After our children are gone, and then we start getting more money. We can do more things. You wonder, you know, we can have a bigger house. We can have a nicer car. But those are battles that you fight during that stage of life. And you have to realize you're in that particular age of life. You're going to have different battles. You're going to have different things you're going to face. If God was speaking to you today, He would say, realize you are of that age group. With that age group, you're going to have financial problems for the most part. You're still trying to figure out, can I afford this size of house, this kind of car, these kind of things? Or do I need to downsize with this many children? What can we do to put food on the table? With that, then you're juggling home, you're juggling work, and you're juggling church. Something going on all the time, and you got to decide what we can do, what we can't do, and what's... Listen to me, the most important thing that you can do when you're going through those years of young married and bringing parenting and raising children, the most important thing that you can do is realize you are sanctified for life. You are sanctified first and foremost to the Lord Jesus Christ, to been set apart to serve Him. So serve Him. In serving Him, it's going to help you with all the other battles that you're fighting as a young married. God says, I know where you're at. I know what age you're in. I know what your battles are. Serve me. The good thing about it is you have youthful energy. I don't know. It's a trade-off. Would I be willing to go back with all those different battles for the youth, for the energy? I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. I can't go back. But there's a trade-off there. That's why God gives us children while we're young. Because you have the energy to be able to handle the battles of raising children. Later on, when you become grandparents, you realize, no, I can't discipline anymore. I just got to spoil those kids. I don't have the authority to discipline them anymore. I have the authority just to be an influence. Amen? I'm going to influence them to love me. No, actually, as grandparents, you better support the authority of your children over your grandchildren. But the idea there is you can't handle that. That's why God gives us those responsibilities at that stage of life. You're going to have a different set of battles, different set of circumstances. But realize, God is there with you. He will strengthen you, and you can accomplish what God wants you to accomplish as a young married and raise your children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. To keep your marriage strong. Serve Him. Midlife. If you're in those middle age years, you need to remind yourself from time to time. You're in a different set of circumstances, mentally, physically. There's a midlife crisis. I think it's something real. I think that Satan knows that you're going through a lot of different things, and he's going to try to blind you. He's going to make suggestions such as, did I make the right choices? Am I missing out on something? I'm getting old. Can I keep that from happening? You're fighting that. Those are things that you're battling. And with a lot of other things. Possibly you have financial problems and you're thinking, I should be over that now. I'm beating myself up because I ought to be a little more financially secure by now. I shouldn't have to struggle here. I shouldn't have to deal with zits. Whatever it might be. You have to remind yourself, what's your age? Where you at? The best thing you can do for yourself as you're going through those struggles, you're going through those battles, is to realize your age and that you're sanctified for life to God. God kept you around. There's a purpose for your being here. And if you're here, if you're still breathing God's air, He has a plan for your life. He has something He wants you to accomplish. Then you get into the old age. I'm older. I'm not old. I am older. But you're facing a different set of circumstances. I'm realizing this more and more in ministry. I'm facing a different set of circumstances than what I've ever faced in ministry before. I'm facing a different set of circumstances in marriage, in life in general, just everything. But I have to... God has a plan for me at my age. He has a plan for you at your age. Maybe you just need to remind yourself. It's appointed that a man wants to die. As we old, things start wearing out. Our health is not what it used to be. We're going to have more health problems. We're going to deal with more. We're not going to have the energy we used to have. We're not going to have the stamina we used to have. Things are different. Satan has maybe a little bit more to work against me if I let him, if I'm not aware of these things. Our mind, not as strong as it used to be. Can't remember like we used to remember. Can't handle the stress that maybe we used to be able to handle. On and on and on. Can I tell you, you need to remind yourself at where you're at in life. And most of what we're at in life is normal. Satan doesn't want you to understand that. He doesn't want you to know that. All these other thoughts are coming into your heart and your mind, and you've got to just remind yourself, this is where I am in life. This is my age, and God has a purpose for me at this point in my life. Because I've been sanctified for life. To serve God. No matter what age, God has a work for us to accomplish. No matter what age. Joshua has been through a lot and he has been given a lot of things to do. He has had a work for his life when he was in Egypt as a young man. He had a work to do for God as he come up out of Egypt, and he was there to encourage the people to follow Moses. And then he had a work to do when Moses said, I want you to be the captain of my host. He had a work to do when he had to lead his army into battle. And then when Moses died, he was a little older, but he was more mature. He had more knowledge, had more expertise. And God says, this is what I want you to do now. I want you to lead my people to possess the land of Canaan. I want you to fight all the other armies. I want you to destroy and annihilate. I want you to defeat and utterly destroy all the other kings and all the other armies. I want you to get rid of them, get them out of the land. And he did that. But now it's changing. No more kings to defeat. All the armies have been done away with. I don't know what was all going through the mind of Joshua. But I know what God said to him when that happened. Now, Joshua was old and stricken in years. We don't know exactly how old he was there. He's somewhere around 90 or so. He died at 110. And the Lord said unto him, he's recommissioning, if you will. He's changing now. The battles have been fought. The physical battles of war have been fought. And the first thing he says to him, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. Yeah. Wow. Joshua, you're older. Your past experiences and accomplishments have positioned you to finish your work or your service to God. You're still sanctified to serve me for life at your age. It's not time to quit. Not time to pass the mantle on. It's time to look at my age and realize I might have to change a few things. But you're better qualified now for what I have for you to do than you've ever been before. Yeah. Psalms 92 and verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You're in God's family? You're going to flourish. God has things for you to do at every age, every stage of life. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Amen. We can still bring forth some fruit. We can still accomplish some things. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. Now that goes along with it. And flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Sanctified for life. Because no matter what stage of life you're in, you can still produce fruit. Amen. Produce the fruit that God wants you to produce as teenagers. Produce the fruit that God wants you to produce as young married. Produce the fruit that God wants you to produce middle age. Produce the fruit that God wants you to produce as you get into your elderly years. First of all, that's what he said. He reminded him of his age. And then, if you will, the second part, and just very briefly here as we finish here tonight. He says, there remaineth yet very much yet. You're not done yet. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And then down at verse 6, he says this. Them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. God says, there's still more work to be done, but I'm going to help you to get it done. I'm still working beside you. I'll still do what you need me to do. He goes on and says, as I have commanded thee. Whatever God's will is for your life is what he's commanded you to do. God reminds Joshua to do what God had commanded him to do, and God would continue to do his part at every stage of life. You see, no one could divide up the inheritance and establish borders like Joshua could. There's no one else at any age that could have done it like Joshua could do it. He had earned the respect of all the people. He had proven himself to be trustworthy. He had proven himself to be a servant of God's. No one would have accused him of short-suiting them, cheating them out of a certain amount of property or an inheritance. I've seen families come apart and literally start fighting with each other over inheritances. Human nature. Israel would have destroyed themselves with trying to figure out who deserved what if it had not been for an old man, Joshua. Yeah, amen. There will be things that we can do at certain points in life that we will not be able to do at any other time in life. And if you miss that window of opportunity, you're going to miss accomplishing that for the cause of Christ. Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90. In Psalms chapter 90, I want you to see verse 12. The psalmist writes, so teach us to number our days. Every day is important. We only have so many of them. Only have a window of time to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish. So teach us to number our days that we may apply. As we understand the importance of every day, and we're reminded of that, then we may apply our hearts unto wisdom to get done what needs to be done, to understand the most important things that we are to accomplish in our lives. As we are aware of the importance of time, we will apply ourselves to accomplishing God's will. See, God provides opportunities. God will apply, he will supply the strength, and if you will, the assistance. I'll be there with you. I'll drive out the land, the inhabitants of the land. But we will need to have the faith. We will need to be committed. And we will need to have trust in order to get it done. We've been sanctified to serve for life. Joshua, you're old, but you're not dead. You've accomplished much, but there's yet more to do. Serve me until I call you home. don't stop short of fulfilling everything that God has for us to fulfill in this lifetime. Whether you're a teenager tonight, young married, middle age, or growing old, God still has much for us to do. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. God opens a door of opportunity. God will supply our need. We need to have faith, the faith of Joshua. We need to be committed. And we need to have trust that God will not leave us, but He'll stay with us to the end. Not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday nights, but there's always an invitation. There's always an opportunity to respond to whatever God might have spoke to you about. I don't know what's going on. I believe this is what God wanted me to present to you tonight. I believe this is what God was revealing to us concerning the life of Joshua. There's something that God spoke to you about tonight. With whatever stage you're in, you need to just acknowledge it. Sanctified to serve for a lifetime. Anyone else need to come tonight? Father, we bow before you and we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. We thank you for this study in the life of Joshua, and as we coming to the toward the end of his life and changing directions as far as his responsibilities now. Lord, he had to adjust to that. And I pray as we have read and studied what you have recorded for his adjustments, that we might likewise be able to adjust to whatever changes in our lives. But we will be committed to serve you for life. Now, as we get ready to leave tonight, we just pray that you'd watch over us, get us all home safely tonight, and bring us back at the next appointed hour. For this we ask in Jesus' name.